Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears Up!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ears Up Podcast. We are back here. I don't know why. This has plagued me since day one, Taryn. I can't see you, which, you know, might be better for you.
We're back to that.
Yeah, I can just move.
Well,
just
I think I'm too far over. Like, I've got a shadow on my face. Like, there's a whole thing going on.
We are in the same room, but it's a very small room.
Okay.
So, you know, there's computer screens and stuff like that. So what are you going to do? But what's plagued me from the beginning of the show is figuring out how to start it. Having an intro. Because I realize I'm in a pattern of like, we're back in the studio. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, I live here. Where else am I going to go?
Okay, but counterpoint.
Well, there's no point to make, so there's no counterpoint.
If you have had this issue since actually day one in 2013, I would just say it's not an issue. It's just the way you start the show.
It's been 10 years. I think you've kind of settled into it. Yeah.
1 week since you looked at me.
I think it's just how it is, and we should just shouldn't worry about it anymore.
But it makes me uncomfortable. It throws me off. I feel unprepared.
This is kind of a throwback because you complained about not knowing how to start the show in quite some time.
There you go, man.
That is true.
Keeping your toes. Keeping your toes, Eric. That's what I'm trying to do. We have a good show for you today. We are going to be talking about the Disney Channel night that happened. It was a couple of months ago. And we have some special guests who actually went to this thing because we didn't go. Are you kidding me? What are we going to do? Go to a thing?
Stop. No.
How dare us?
We could never leave the house.
No, there's no, you know what's out there? Other people. Other people are out there.
I mean,
we see them walking by.
It's true.
And it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I make notes in my little notebooks. I got notebooks and I go,
oh boy.
The third age, probably 35, 36, walking dog, 10:48 a.m.
I'm scared because I feel like it is something you would do.
Just muttering inside the house, keep going.
Yeah. Oh, your screen is glitching.
Keep on walking.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Motherfart.
Yeah. You're like AI.
Okay, well, hopefully it's not on the recording.
Yeah.
Whatever, who cares? I'm like 80% done with the studio getting put together.
10 years later.
Tell me about it, dude. Whatever. Anyway.
It'll give the show those rave vibes that you're looking for.
That's right. Yes. That's exactly me. The drum and bass night is what we have here. We're rolling deep. We got some pacifiers and some water. Everyone's going to feel right at home. No, we have Carrie and Amari on the show with us, and these two lovely people went to the Disney Channel night, and they're going to tell us all about it. I have that outline from them. This is like probably the most prepared I've ever demanded a guest, you know, be.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's great because now I know what's going on. Because before I was like Disney Channel, I mean, that sounds cool, but I don't know what it is. But they put together an outline. We're going to be talking to them about, where are you going? Why are you leaving? Oh God, Alice. Oh,
well, she's gone. All right. One down.
Yeah. That's right. Eric, what are you doing? You got something to do?
I just ran a race, so I'm still very tired.
Oh, you must be in shape because you don't sound out of breath at all.
Well, I didn't run it like just now. Just now I walked up and down the stairs a few times, so I was out of breath, but I caught my breath because I'm out of shape. But I ran a 10-mile race on Sunday in Disney World.
In Disney World. Oh, so you're like fresh off the plane.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Did you win?
Thank you for being the person who asked that, because I feel bad. Nobody else has asked me that. And I've told it.
Really?
Like, someone will always ask you, did you win? And none of my coworkers asked me if I won.
Man, no one loves you like I love you. That's why.
Well, I love you too. And the first five miles, I totally crushed it. I met my goals, which was basically run at the pace. Like I'm not back up to my old speed and everything since the back surgery and all that. So yeah. It was like, how long can I go at my current training speed? And the answer is 5 miles out of 10. And I thought that was pretty damn awesome. So
better than I could do. I'll tell you that.
I felt pretty good.
Awesome. Good job, man. I noticed you're dodging the question. You didn't win, I think.
I did not win. Not in my age group, not in my weight class, not in my back surgery group.
Yeah.
Whole group of recent back surgeries in Run. They're very inclusive in Run Disney. Yeah.
As long as you didn't get swept up.
Oh, no. I did.
You know where, like, if you don't meet the time, then the little golf cart comes around and picks up the trash.
The balloon ladies, they're following at the end.
Yeah.
They're notorious. And I did not get swept.
Well, that's good. God bless. Man.
I did get lapped by David Sally, one of our listeners.
How do you get lapped in a 10K? Well,
I guess he started a corral behind me.
Oh, okay. He overtook you.
Yeah, he started the race probably a half an hour after me and
finished
approximately 1 minute before I did.
Did he shame you as he passed?
No, we didn't know.
Like turn around and run backwards and talking at you at the same time. Yeah.
I might have clocked him for that one. No, not you. but yeah, I didn't even notice him passing me because I was so focused on like just get across the finish line. Like my leg.
Yeah.
One of my legs was cramping.
Oh, man.
Because I stepped funny on a weird thing. And like the last mile was just go, just keep going. And then I crossed the finish line. And after I got my medal, I'm going a little bit further and heading toward the underripe banana and the rest of the treats that you get. I came across David and his daughter. And I said, when did you guys get here? And they're like, we literally just got here. And I said, so you passed me at the finish line. Great.
Damn. You know, and they didn't even help you over the finish line. They didn't like slow down like those Kenyan dudes did for that Chinese runner last week or whatever. Did you hear about that?
No, they did not. Because there's no need for them to take pity on me. They started way after me. And also healthy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, look, you know, I'm glad you survived, man. You got your little medal.
Uh-huh.
Did you wear it around like a big jock like Jeremy would do?
I totally did.
There you go.
Only one day. Jeremy would have yelled at me on Monday if the race wasn't happening when I didn't wear the medal.
Hey, nice medal. Too bad it was yesterday.
No, he would have yelled at me on Monday for not wearing the medal the rest of the week that I was there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He has done so in the past. Where's your medal? Where's your medal? I'm like, that was yesterday, man. Where's
you earned medal? It.
You earned it.
Typical Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, if you want to be abused with a bunch of other people for these Run Disney events or whatever, contact Concierge and ask them when the next Run Disney event's going to be. Maybe they know. Maybe they don't know. But if they do know, they'll help you plan for it. You can go to any of the parks wherever the Run Disney thing is happening. They'll set you up with hotels. They'll do all that kind of stuff. And it's no additional charge. It's just what the parks are going to charge you. But there's so much more that you get. You get that hands-on service. You get that one-on-one conversation. You get back rubs from Jimmy, foot rubs from Jimmy. I'm not supposed to say that. It's a new thing they're rolling out. So just ask for that when you guys book.
You don't have to. He'll show up anyway.
Yeah. The sound you hear at night outside in the bushes, Concierge. They're just making sure everything's cool. Doing a sweep. They're doing a flare drop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll be great. It'll be good. Speaking of Jimmy, I was texting with him today because we have a... Scraping the Vault Ears Up collaboration show coming.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be great, you mean. Oh, yay, is what you mean.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
The shows that I'm on.
here's good news. So I have to push that show. We're gonna do that show in June. Number one, it was supposed to be in like a month. We haven't talked about it. So I'm like, let's push it back. But two, I've set the hook. I don't know. We haven't discussed details yet, but I have Stan Freeze on the line for coming on the show finally.
All right.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about Stan. It. Yeah. I'm reading his book. I finally started his book the other day. I was just I was just like sitting here, I'm like depressed. I'm like, oh my God, I need work. I hate everything. I'll just read this book. And it's like the first paragraph is hilarious. And the guy is just funny. And it's very reminiscent of the Rolly Crump book.
Uh-huh.
In the way that he sort of reflects on his life in a very humorous fashion. And there's a lot of stuff you don't really expect in there. I'm 20 pages deep or whatever. But it's great. It's a great book. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to reach out to him. I follow him on LinkedIn of all places. And, yeah. And I try to reach out to him, but it's like, you must upgrade to premium and you have 5 email credits. It's like, thanks. Thanks. Okay. Man. So, but you get a month free. So yes, I will pay $0 to email Stan Freeze. So I wrote to him, I reached out to him. I was like, oh my God. And I felt just like, in high school or in middle school where you pass the note and then you like leave. Oh, I can't, I want to know what they say. I can't watch them open the note. Right. And, so I close LinkedIn. I just do whatever. And I look, check my email. It says Stan Freeze has accepted your message. I'm like, Oh my God. I haven't checked my email for like a day. And then, finally I looked and there was I'm expecting an email back saying he replied either, you know, go away. My son, Josh, told me you were terrible, so I'm never coming on your show. Like, these are the things I expect, right? But I didn't see anything, but whatever. And then so I get like a job alert and then in my email. So I click on it, it takes me through LinkedIn, and then my messages pop up and stands right at the top and it just says, sure, with an exclamation point. I'm like, oh, man, what a load off.
The man wrote like 1,000 pages on his life and he responds to an email with one word.
Sure. Well, I just like, let me know if you're interested and we'll pin a date down. Kind of a thing.
All right.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah. That's cool. So, I'm looking forward to it. I love this guy. The more I learn about him, this guy's great.
Yeah, me too, man. So look forward to that. I'm going to try to pin him down the second show next month. So it was like the 26th or so, something like that.
Okay.
So it gives me time to read the book. The book's like 300 pages.
Yeah.
And I'm just learning how to read. You know what I mean?
I
read some of the stuff Alice brings home where it's like Jake baked a cake.
Cake.
Very hard.
Cake. And Alice is like cake. Dad, cake.
2 K's. Anyway, that's what's happening here on the channel, everybody. We're getting Stan Freeze here and it's gonna be good times.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, Carrie. Are you ready? Let's talk some Disney Channel night.
Yes, I'm Carrie and I'm ready to talk about Disney Channel.
Hello, welcome. Hello. This is what I do. There's no transition. It just kind of goes boom and barrels right into the next segment. So
can somebody sing me in or something?
You want some music? Yes. I can find some music.
I'll sing you opera.
Yes. Please sing opera.
She's here. The opera singer. I lied.
Oh my gosh. I was just in there. The lights were low.
All right. Now, Marie, welcome to the show, you guys. I appreciate you coming on.
We did, in fact, use concierge to acquire these.
Nice.
So I could just go do my job and not stress about getting on the computer at the right time.
Yeah.
Because as you know, the tickets go on sale and then people go and get them. And there is this anxiety about the tickets selling out. For some strange reason, these tickets didn't seem to sell out right away.
Really? Because, you know, there was, we were talking, I think in Discord or I forget where, but I saw a lot of people excited for this. I thought it would be really kind of an in-demand ticket event.
I thought the same thing. And then I had a second thought that maybe it's like me and my delusion being excited about it and like normal people, not so much.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know. Is there Avatar in it? Cause I'll go then, you know, the fandom is weird. The Disney fandom is weird because especially for me, the things that I think people won't like, they're all over the place. They love it, you know, whatever. And vice versa, like on the Disneyland subreddit, when they were talking about Avatar Land coming, people were like, who's going to do this? And then a lot of people were like, I love it. I can't wait. And it blows me away. So I'm with you on that. You never know.
Yes. And then, yeah, so the tickets are for this event were $139. And This is less than a park hopper, and it's only a little bit more than a single park ticket. And I think that's really important to consider when you're deciding about whether or not you want to do a special event, as I really feel like we not only got our money's worth of going on attractions, but that it was a far more pleasant experience than like the 12-hour park day that you would normally do.
Yeah.
So we rolled in there, I think around 7-ish, and knowing that the event was going to go from 8 to 1 a.m. and then at 8 p.m. they're going to kick out the regular ticket holders and just have the special event to give people the park.
Yeah.
So we didn't want too much mixing in time, because the whole reason we're going is to not mix in. No offense to any humans, but when there's a lot of you, it's like, whoa.
But get out of my park. Yeah, right.
And it's really like, it's definitely a deterrent for a lot of people going. So anyway, we rolled in around 7 and we got this, I guess they call it a souvenir badge. It's like a TV with mouse ears.
You cannot see any of the text on that.
Well, it's not really important anyway.
Yeah, it's like the Disney Channel old logo or whatever. Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's paper.
It's cute.
And you get, and you got the lanyard that's yellow. And, you know, we could all use lanyards for
lanyard things.
Yeah.
Sure.
Things you would put on a lanyard.
Yeah. Like
your badge. Okay.
Or other lanyards, really. And just keep it going. Make a chain.
They gave us a map of the special events, all of which we tried to avoid because we were there to go on rides and not go to dance parties.
All right, hold on. So you bought the tickets to just go on the rides. So it's like gaming the system kind of for you. You're like, okay, well, all these schlubs are going to be doing the stuff. I'm going on rides.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what we do with the fireworks too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fire. You got to do that. That's the smart move. But I've never heard this. I've never heard of going to an event specifically to do. So were all of the rides open?
No, not all of them. So Rise of the Resistance is never going to be open unless it's never going to be open on a special event unless it's the Star Wars night, because they have that pay for the fast pass thing.
Okay.
And they're going to want to keep making that money.
Sure.
So that's closed. But the only other two rides that were closed were Splash Mountain and Haunted Mansion, because of their big refurbishment redos.
Yeah.
And I consider that to be really, really generous, like Indiana Jones being open still and Jungle Cruise all the way over to Small World. Mickey and Minnie's Railway was open, unfortunately broke down, and we did not get people on it.
Aww.
But it was open.
I know, like, some of these events, at least when I was looking at going, you know, years ago, it was like sections of the park. I don't recall them just being just all, basically all the rides in the park. Like, for me, all the way from Adventureland to Toontown, to me, that's like too much. I would not expect you can just sort of go anywhere.
It's not too much.
Mm-mm-mm. No.
Nope.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, from an enjoyment standpoint, it's not enough. But, you know, from a park standpoint, I would think like, yeah, I wouldn't expect that. But that's a really nice, that's a welcome surprise. How many people were there, do you think?
I'm not sure. And it's really hard to tell, but it must have, I'm sure we could like Google it and find out what they capped the crowds at, but it was so, like, some places were so empty empty. It was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Like we really just were walking on like Indiana Jones, Space Mountain, Jungle Cruise, like half empty boat. Like it was it felt very lush.
Man, that's the experience that I want. It's almost like the experience we talk about. We used to go like, oh, you know, if you go in like, you know, February or January, there's nobody there and it rains. Oh my God, it's the best thing in the world. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And as an adult, I've been seeking the perfect weekend there since I started taking Amari when she was like 4 or 5. I've always been seeking, and I think I finally found it. So we were like going on rainy days in February, mm-hmm. and middle of the week, yeah. and all that stuff. And yeah. it was good, but this was special at nighttime. And then like there were these surprising bonuses that we weren't expecting to enjoy. No offense to babies, but the lack of
all the babies listening right now, please cover your ears. Skip forward, please.
Time. Yeah. So the lack of babies and little children was amazing. Was so awesome. Yeah.
Okay. I get it. That is absolutely, especially if you're trying to just cruise through rides, you do sort of get at a loggerhead, I guess, when you have people dealing with kids or there's a meltdown, you happen to walk through Fantasyland, the kid's too hot or whatever. Totally acceptable. Because you're there.
Stroller and park.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, framing this in the sort of guerrilla, you know, style attack on the park that you pulled, where we're there to maximize rides. That is another bonus. You're absolutely right. Nothing to slow you down.
And we also weren't expecting this like vibe of very cult like familial,
yeah.
like we're all in this together. Like, we're special here at night. Yeah. It was like extra friendly mm-hmm. among the people there.
Weird. Okay. Yeah.
Star Tours.
All right. Fun.
Yeah. Star Tours was extra fun because when it like showed who the spy was, the people yeah. next to him just went, "That guy." And then at the end, all of us were just like, "Are you okay?"
Traumatized.
It's all like a party vibe, like throughout yeah. the park.
Yeah. Okay. Have you, so this is the Disneyland at Night series, I guess. Had you done anything like this before? These other little special ticketed events.
Not since my own grad night. You did that. Yeah. I mean, I went to school down there. So, yeah. So, yeah. That's okay. What, like, I don't want to say how long ago.
That's fine. You don't need to.
It's a couple years ago. It's fine. Yeah. This is like a present for you. This is great. It sounds like it couldn't have gotten any better. What were the wait times like just that you were experiencing across the parks?
It was
not there.
Mwah, chef's kiss. Mwah. Everything was like walk on, maybe 15 minutes max. Mm-hmm.
Geez. Sounds like a dream from 2003.
Oh yeah, Peter Pan. I haven't gone on Peter Pan in like 4 years.
Right.
And I finally got to go on it again. And then I realized why I wasn't going on it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it.
Noises.
It's so short.
It was making really concerning creaking noises the whole time.
It's definitely getting there.
I didn't like that.
Oh no. A little scary Peter Pan ride. That's how it's for. It's fine.
I can't fly.
No, I shouldn't be flying. This is it's like flying a Boeing these days. American Airlines. Like, interesting. Okay. Man, short rides. Was it Peter Pan like a walk-on? Because that's like everyone's top tier, you know.
It wasn't goal. A walk-on.
It was not. But there was a fun little.
But it was like 10 minutes. Activity. 15 minutes. 15 max. Yeah.
Okay. Were there any other rides?
Like all the scavenger hunt things.
Sorry, Terry?
Were there any other rides like that like you just don't normally go on because their lines are too long, but this kind of gave you that opportunity?
Well, it really gave us the opportunity to go on more than once. And that way I felt like as if we really gorged ourselves on the attractions instead of like petering out and fading out. So it was like, I always want to go on Alice more than once. And I got to.
Cool.
And some things like we wouldn't bother going on Snow White. We don't really like how they changed it.
Yeah, I like the scary part.
Yeah,
good to know, to be honest with you. Yeah.
And yeah, being able to end our night was going on Pirates again and literally having a boat to ourselves was
that is so the best, man.
Magical.
That's amazing.
That is the best. And it does feel like that's one of those things where you used to be able to do and now you can't. Especially with the reservation system, I guess. And yeah, that's like one of those rare moments. For me, that's almost worth the price of admission for this special event anyway.
It sounds like this is the only way I want to go back to Disneyland.
I know, right? you get a small window, but you pay full ticket price basically, and you just slam it.
But well, you pay double price, don't you? Because you have to pay for admission and then this, or is it separate? Oh, okay.
You just pay for this and you get in a little bit early. So you get those hours too. I think value wise, this is 110% the way to go. Mm. And my husband doesn't really dig going either because it's too crowded.
Yeah.
When he heard about it and how it was, he's going to come with us next time. I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
Disney Channel one, or you're going to just try to do these. This is how you're going to be going from now.
This is how I want to go from now on. Okay. go to an after hours. I don't know if they're going to do Disney Channel night again. I'm not sure it performed the way they were hoping it would.
Doesn't sound like it maybe did.
Yeah. It was just empty. What were some of the fun things that they had that you totally ditched?
Karaoke. I'm putting it out there because that sounds real weird with like a bajillion people.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that in front of strangers.
I guess what songs were they like? Hannah Montana songs, like Disney Channel stuff, or what? Like, okay.
I heard something. I don't know what it was. I didn't recognize it.
All right.
They had dance parties. They had like live performances. Lots of photo ops.
Hmm.
Yeah, some voice actors and stuff. Like actors, voice actors were there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's fun. That was
cool. How did you know who they were?
No.
Like, were there signs or something?
Were there signs that said, like, I'm the voice of Captain?
And then, like, the guide map they give you has what all the special events and doodads are. And on the other side of it is all the special events for the food. That's another line. So, you know, people are waiting in lines for their photo ops and their meet and greets, and they're waiting in line for the specialty food. And if you live there and that's what you want to do, that's fine. But if you don't live there, you want to go on the rides.
That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they also have the specialty food, photo ops, dance parties, karaoke. Oh, cosplay. So you can, that's another big appeal of the after hours events is people dressing up. And people were bringing it.
It was someone in some insane Cruella dress or something.
Mm-hmm. Big ball gown.
Big ball gown.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, adults. Oh. They're crazy.
They really are.
Yeah. So adults with expendable income.
Yeah, they're children with money. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Hey, now. Hey, I'm an adult children with money.
I am an adult child. That sounds cool. Did you guys didn't dress up or anything? I mean, what did you dress up as? You did. What did you dress up as?
It was a little toned down, but I did. I got like this cheap dress of Jack Skellington off of Amazon. Did some basic makeup, and she was zero.
Nice. Cool. Oh, how cute!
Very cute. I love it.
Yeah, and then we wore our churro shirts the next day.
Oh yeah.
Oh, look at you guys. I appreciate that. That's good. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
I do have to give a caveat, as I think we're all in the same age range, roughly.
Sure.
And being at this event, I think the first 2 or 3 hours was like great prime energy. I'm singing and dancing and jumping and running from thing to thing. It's awesome. Yeah. And then around 11 midnight, I'm not sure where I am.
You hit a wall.
Where does the line start?
I'm 3 hours into my sleep by that point. Like that's
You're drunk on power.
Yeah. It's like the Cinderella thing, but instead of turning into a pumpkin, you turn into the age you really are. Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's what Walt wanted for his park, really.
I'd like my tea now.
Yeah. Amari's like, let's get you back into bed, Mom. Okay. You got out once. Let's strap you in. Yeah. That's actually what I was going to point out on your outline. You said that everyone got goofier and loopier as time passed. It sounds like that's kind of one of those things. And I wonder, what do you attribute that to? Just the dopamine hit finally wore off and everyone just kind of got tired?
I think so. And maybe these people are drinking a lot of these very tall, sugary beverages and probably drinking adult beverages. And once you burn that sugar off, you crash hard.
Absolutely.
And yeah, everyone had these like glazed over eyes by the end of the night. Like, oh, man. So much stimulation.
Yeah. It's the adult Disney fan zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Yes.
But they Disney were all happy, Channel so that's died. Nice.
Yes, right, right. They want to, I don't know. I was going to try to make a weird zombie joke, but it wasn't going to go anywhere. Well, we're getting to the drawbacks section, mainly because the first one just says I'm old and tired. And I don't know if I wrote that or you wrote that.
I wrote that, but I feel you. Mm-hmm. I think you can relate. Yeah. Especially with a younger kid.
Oh my God. Forget about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I just woke up from a nap. I'm like, I think I need another nap.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
And then on day two, you know, we woke up.
That was terrible.
Yeah. We woke up.
I stayed up later. I didn't go to bed until 3 because I was texting a friend who was definitely supposed to be asleep because she had school the next day.
And you didn't. You're like, I'll do whatever.
I don't know what she was doing. I don't know what she was doing.
He's just robbing you of prime sleeping hours.
I ended up with like 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, and then counterpoint to that, it was the food and wine festival.
Oh my goodness,
that sounds terrible.
Started in there,
so it sounds like so you went from like nobody around
to then suddenly
inundated with human beings.
Oh god, what a buzzkill!
What a culture shock!
Yeah,
that was Incredicoaster was closed.
Incredicoaster.
Dude.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Why am I love that ride. Here?
See, Iger giveth and Iger taketh away. You know, he'll come down from his mansion and bless you with a good night, but then he'll take Incredicoaster away and then pour the food and wine festival all over your trip.
Oh man,
I don't think that's what he'll do. That sounds like. But it, I mean, so you were there all day for the next for the God. So what was your ride comparison? Between going on, going on it and that.
Did we even do 10?
I don't think so. Because we left early. Yeah.
It's so early. Yeah.
On the after hours event, we did, and I'm a little stats oriented. I apologize. I know it's not about that for everybody. On the Disney Channel night, we did 20 rides.
Wow.
And walked 12 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, just around Disneyland, around and around and around.
Yeah.
In Disneyland, Disneyland, not DCA, not through the Esplanade, not
that's back. Amazing.
20 rides in 12 miles.
I love that.
And it's amazing.
That the sounds you can like you had a fun time.
When you're like really walking through the queues, walking and not standing, you can cover anything out.
I'd never realized how long the queue line for any of those is until I had to walk through them without stopping.
Yeah. You know what? The one strikes me the most is Indy.
I was just thinking that one too.
That one hides the queue very, very well because you think, you get to the safety spiel and then the rides are on the corner.
You're not done.
No, you're going upstairs. You're going downstairs. Yeah, that's wild.
The ramp at Star Tours was starting to kill me by the end of the night.
Yeah.
I love that ride, but that was a bit much.
Yeah, it was like a workout.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know you're hitting the wall when a slow incline starts to bother you. It can't get any more gradual than this. So what's your normal, because you were saying in an email the other day that that you sort of do this or you track your rides on your trips. What's a normal day, just to compare what you would normally do, how many rides and whatever compared to the Disney Channel night?
I think the worst we've ever done is like 13 or something. Although this trip we probably did worse than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best has been 20, and that's on like, that's across a 12-hour day of park hopping over 20.
Oh, right. Cause this was only a couple of hours.
Yeah. It was like 8 to 1, I think. Right.
Yeah. It was 8 to 1,
5, 6 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oof.
That's so cool though. Honestly.
Yeah. That's fascinating. See, and the bummer is it doesn't sound like they're going to do it again.
No.
But I mean, maybe who knows, you know,
maybe. Why? You guys got like a golden ticket.
Yeah, it's like with this once in a, I don't want to say once in a lifetime kind of things, but it sort of feels like
kinda,
it.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what might come next. Like, I hope if they don't do Disney Channel at night again, they do something else kind of weird. Because it was very niche seeming and weird and risky. And I definitely want to check out other after hours events, but I do definitely hope there's other kind of weird ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Disney Channel one seemed very just rooted in nostalgia. You know, for people who grew up, I didn't really grow up a Disney Channel kid, you know, because it was extra money.
Oh yeah.
And
I just always waited for those free weeks.
Those free weeks.
That was the best week ever.
Yeah, but then what was even on it when you were watching it? What was on?
Kids Incorporated.
K-I-D-S.
Was that Disney?
I think Kids Incorporated was Disney. I could be wrong, but I think
Kids
it was.
Kids Incorporated.
And then the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
I remember it like coming on and it was like, this is, I don't know. I was never really into it.
There was a show that was
too cool, Taryn.
There was still you're also too old. There was a Alice in Wonderland show where
That was so weird.
The Mad Hatter wore skates. Like inline skates.
Rollerblades.
Yeah. And
inline skates.
It was just a really wild show where the girl stepped through the mirror and like she was just like a teenage girl in her room and she stepped through the mirror and then like it was this live action.
Didn't you show this to me?
Yeah, because it's on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I watched one episode and I was like, it's so bad, but I loved it for that one week.
No, none of this. It calls to me. So that's why I would go like the Disney Channel night. I don't know. I mean, who would go?
But well, I'll tell you what, next time they have a weird ass one, I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm going to be like, let's go.
Yeah. Ears up, field trip.
Yeah. Let's do it. That sounds great. And again, like for the whole park to be open, I think that's cool because I remember like we went to a couple of them, Taryn, didn't we? And then like the sections of the park were closed.
Yeah, I don't think that we did the proper nights. The only proper like nighttime thing that we did was the Halloween thing. And that was before they
like Toontown was closed.
Before they got big though.
Yeah.
Like
we were cool before it was big?
No, I think we were dumb.
Oh,
before
nice.
Before okay. they like all we got was candy and all that was open was like New Orleans Square.
Yeah.
And that like maybe fine. Something else. But like it was smaller and it was less expensive. I think
that's what I mean. That's what keeps blowing me away.
Now they're like
a
big deal.
That's what blows me away that the park is open all the
time. Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, I think you guys got lucky. So what happens when it's over? There's the breaks.
Oh my
like
God,
the record.
Sound, it's really creepy. Yeah, the magic is over promptly at 1 a.m.
Oh,
the
I
magic
bet.
Is
it
done.
Was just got gone immediately.
Yeah, we God. Got on Pirates. It was magical all by ourselves.
We walked off and it's like 1:04 a.m. Yeah,
as we're like coming around the corner, we're seeing the cast members cleaning up with garbage bags. Like, well, that was fast. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
just
awesome.
Masses of people walking out of the park.
Come on.
The masses of people walking out of the park felt the park like some sort closed. Of like it felt like some sort of zombie apocalypse or something. It was just like
because we looked like zombies.
Yeah.
I always feel for the custodial department nights like that where it's it's 1:00. Can you guys just leave? You know, it's like being a bartender. Like, I just want to close. I just want to do the mochas. You know what I mean? Like, get out of here. Whatever.
Yeah.
That sounds cool, though. It really does. I appreciate you sharing your expertise. So what's your game plan moving forward for all this? It sounds like you're going to go back. Are you going to change things up in anticipation maybe of it not being so great? Or you're just going to, you know, hope for the best?
We processed and talked about it afterwards and how could we improve upon this. We don't want to end with a bad day after like such a magical moment. And came up with the idea of going there and doing a rope drop on the first day.
And leave early.
Yeah, leave early. Mm-hmm. And then go to the special event.
Yeah.
I forgot already.
I had a very elaborate plan because I get to go for my 16th birthday and I want something extra.
Nice.
So we're going to look into wait times for like Oogie Boogie Bash because I love California Adventure. So whatever park we're going to for the nighttime event, we do rope drop at the other park
Okay.
So we have a single, no park hopper, right, just one day at a park. Mm-hmm. Leave a little early so we can get to bed at a decent time, take the next day to just chill, and then go to the special event.
Okay.
That sounds good. Yeah. I like that.
Cool. That's a good plan. Yeah.
I like that plan because, you know, especially when Taryn and I were going a lot, you know, there in like 2015-ish or whatever, it was like, I'm just tired of the parks. You get tired of it after a while. So I think if you dose it out, I think that's the way to go. You know, yeah. You dose it out and you leave a little bit of magic there. You don't squeeze all the magic out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that sounds like a solid plan to do that.
I will say though, every single time we didn't squeeze all the magic out.
Yeah.
We got halfway down the five and I'm like, should have just stayed another day.
Yeah.
Like, well, what do we do?
And then I would always help and go, just call your boss and just say you're sick. I don't care. You know, whatever. No, I can't. All right, then. What do you want from me? Well, I think it sounds great. It's not a successful trip. Disney Channel, you know, theming aside. You know? But first, I thought you went specifically for Disney Channel-like stuff, like a nostalgia trip. And I was like, oh, that's
no, I'm sorry cool. If you were looking forward
there,
to that.
There was something about, though, because to fit the theme, they're playing music. That fits the theme. I heard the intro to Jesse over 3 times.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Want to hear it again.
Yeah, I heard a lot of music for the first time. So
yeah, well that's
that was
fun. That's cool, I guess. Yeah, that does seem like a very niche thing, man. You know,
yeah.
It's not like Sweetheart Nights, or I wonder if like in 10 years it's going to be movie themed. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this is the I don't know
Cinderella night. Or
yeah,
something.
I guess, or Encanto night, or something like that. I don't know.
I'd go to that. Yeah.
I do feel like they're like testing things out. That felt like a test.
For sure. I wonder if it passed.
I don't know.
I mean, the benchmark would be if all the tickets sold.
Yeah.
And then how much food and drink at, you know, at the.
Well, and all the people they have to pay to be working.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
At
right?
an empty park.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it didn't, if they were still available a few days later, that's already kind of a.
Yeah. Not a good sign.
Not what you'd expect. Mm hmm.
Well, it sounds great. I appreciate you guys coming on and letting us know about it.
Very cool.
Thank you for letting us be here. And
absolutely.
Like, most people don't let us talk about Disneyland, at least me, as much as I want to. So thank you.
I don't
you.
Think my friends appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, that's what we're here for. Yeah.
You guys want to come over and listen to my mom talk about Disneyland?
No. My strategy. Yeah.
I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah. Print everything out on a dot matrix printer. Ream by ream, connecting all
I
the
dots,
whatever. Yeah. All right, we are going to take a quick break, everyone. We're going to come back, and we have some Disney news to run through, and that's it. We're then we'll be at what?
I have a segment.
Oh yeah, well we talked about maybe not doing it.
Oh, we had.
Yes, we had.
With me?
With you?
No, I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear it, but but I'm not Taryn.
Well, yeah, Eric Warwick wasn't here, but anyway, let's take a quick break, everyone. We'll be right back here on Ears Up. Don't go anywhere. Come back. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to Ears Up, where the opinions never stop. Ever.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I said we were going to do news, but Taryn basically beat me up.
Whoa.
She psychically berated me into doing her segment. And I don't have your music, Taryn, so I'll put it in.
Okay.
I'll put it in post, but pretend this is it. Okay, that was it.
All right.
Did you like it?
I did. All right, thank you.
Very good.
Okay, so today I'm going to talk about a lesser known character. And maybe that's not fair to say. It's a very well-known character. I think we just don't know a whole lot about this character. And this is Luxo Jr.
Oh, Luxo Jr. Never heard of it.
You will have.
Yeah.
So aside from the lamp that Steve Carell was referring to in Anchorman when he famously stated, "I love lamp," Luxo Jr. is probably the most famous and most recognizable lamp in modern history. It's the official mascot of Pixar Studios, along with its friend, the ball. And it's become part of the opening for every single Pixar film. Now, Luxo Jr. is a squeaky and curious little desk lamp with big feelings and a playful attitude. It's gray with a bright white bulb, an articulating arm that adjusts both horizontally and vertically. And while quite similar in its overall makeup, Luxo Jr. is a significantly smaller version of the larger Luxo Sr., who is also a squeaky desk lamp with an adjustable articulating arm.
Well, it's genetic. It's handed down.
Multiple generations, yeah.
Yeah, you'd think it would skip a generation, but no, it doesn't.
Absolutely not. Yeah,
the squeak stays.
Luxo Jr. and Sr. were both seen for the first time when the short film Luxo Jr. debuted in 1986.
Oh, so we got a Nepo baby.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
SIGGRAPH, which is an annual computer graphics conference.
Yeah.
And the film starts with a Luxo Sr. kicking a ball out of the frame that bounced over to him. He does this a couple of times, and then Luxo Jr. appears and playfully begins to jump on top of the ball. Unfortunately, the little lamp pops the ball, and that makes him sad. That makes it sad. After a brief moment of grief, Luxo Jr. regains its childlike exuberance, hops off screen, and happily returns with a much bigger and much bouncier ball, to which Luxo Sr. appears surprised and joyful, if not a little perplexed, at both the resilience and resourcefulness of Luxo Jr.
So these lamps don't have, like, faces.
Nope. They're just lamps.
Perplexed.
Have you never seen it?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed SIGGRAPH that day.
Yes.
That year. Yeah.
Well, it was, so Luxo Jr. is, you may be wondering why it's interesting. Yeah, well, you may be.
If you're wondering why, that I don't know what you're doing listening to this show. So, why is this interesting? It's been 50 minutes. Why am I still listening?
This is how I categorize this segment.
Okay.
So Luxo Jr. as a character is interesting because at the time it was conceived, it was one of the most complicated characters to ever be animated. John Lasseter wrote and directed the film. Luxo Jr. was animated by John Lasseter himself and Ed Catmull after they had both left Lucasfilm Computer Division. Now, this two-minute short film's animation took inspiration from the classic animation principles popularized by the Walt's Nine Old Men, which was kind of bringing an emotional life to otherwise inanimate objects. The difference, however, was that this animation was completed using only computer graphics, and the short film took them 4.5 months to complete, and it's rumored that they worked tirelessly to complete it, even bringing sleeping bags to the office.
Oh, sure. That's the story I would tell, too. Man, I worked really hard on this. I worked incredibly harder than you would ever know.
Also, I'm just realizing how I shouldn't say this, but how creepy it is that John Lasseter was bringing sleeping bags to the office.
Oh,
I think you're reaching, but that's all right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So Luxo Jr. received an Academy Award nomination in 1987 for Best Animated Short Film. There were three films in this category, but the film lost to a short called Greek Tragedy.
Hey, oppa, hey.
And even though it didn't
get... keep a good film down, you know what I mean?
Even though it didn't get the gold statue, it will always go down as the very first CGI film nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
In 1999, the short was reissued as a short film shown before the screenings of Toy Story 2 in theater. So you never saw Toy Story 2 in theaters, I guess?
I guess not, no.
Oh, that's how I knew of this.
Yeah.
In 2014, the film was selected for preservation by the National Film Registry. And oddly, Disney Plus states that the release of the movie is 1999, not 1986, which is odd. So where else have you seen Luxo Jr.? A cordless Luxo Jr. is seen in the opening logo of every single Pixar film, standing in for the eye. So you have seen that before.
Yes. I mean, I know it's the lamp. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Luxo Jr. is...
Wait, what did it sound like? Like a bat. Okay. No. Got it.
Luxo Jr. is also at the end of WALL-E, where he meets that lovable trash compactor. Luxo Jr.'s ball has appeared somewhere in every single Pixar movie.
Easy.
In Toy Story 2, Luxo Jr. Can be seen on TV when Ham is rapidly flicking through TV channels. And this is interesting. There was an audio animatronic version of Luxo Jr. at Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World, but it was removed in April 2010. And this may have been due to a 2009 lawsuit brought about by Norwegian lamp company Luxo AS, who sued Disney and Pixar for trademark infringement.
I vaguely remember this.
When Disney started selling a limited edition Luxo Jr. desk lamp.
Yeah.
Now, the parties ended up reaching an amicable settlement in November 2009, but the timing seems a little weird, so it's possible that those are related.
Yeah.
And why it left the park.
Luxo AF, baby. Let's go.
In 1991, this is the last place that you may have seen Luxo.
Yeah.
In 1991, a series of four shorts were created featuring Luxo Jr. and Luxo Sr. for and aired on Sesame Street.
Okay.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
It's cute.
Now, who's behind the character? Luxo Jr. and Sr., they don't have voices. However, Luxo Jr.'s composition is said to be based on a former Pixar employee, Tom Porter's infant son. When Porter brought his son to work one day, Lasseter was playing with the baby and was fascinated by how huge the baby's head was compared to its body.
Yeah, those are babies, John. All babies just are like this.
Do all babies look like lamps?
Yeah.
I could see that. Like you're sitting there and basically he began to imagine what a small lamp might look like with those types of proportions.
Maybe he thought it was a lamp.
Maybe. I mean,
your lamp is,
I don't know the guy.
Yeah. With your articulating arm on your son is weird.
Also, while there are no voices in the film, there are three composed pieces of music in the 2-minute short composed by David Lindup, Brian Bennett, and Carlton Hall. Now, in conclusion, if you're like me and have often wondered if the inanimate objects in your life have feelings, like does my pillow's bedside feel jealous of the head side if I don't flip it often? Or does the oven feel down if I use the air fryer 2 nights in a row? That sort of thing. Then you will certainly hold a small piece of your heart for this adorable little lamp.
I don't want to.
Must.
Do any of you remember there was an IKEA commercial where,
yes.
Do you remember the lamp IKEA commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do.
Then I don't need to tell anybody about it. That's the end.
Well, you do.
I don't.
Go on, please.
Okay, fine. It was one of my favorites because, yes, I too have imbued feelings onto inanimate objects for inappropriate reasons. Like, yeah, but we've had this stick for our entire hiking trip. But it's part of our family now.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be sad.
Yeah. It's like in Goonies, you live with me now. Right. It's like everything you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the it was a great commercial because this woman goes and buys a new lamp at IKEA and throws her old lamp out in the trash, and it's like pouring rain and the lamp is on the side of the road and it's sitting there and they're playing sad music. And then this Swedish guy steps up and says, "Perhaps you feel sorry for the lamp, but do not feel sorry for the lamp. It is just an inanimate object and it has no feelings and the new lamp is much better."
That was a really good commercial. Lamps are important.
Speaking
I don't know.
Of good.
There's a lot of lamps to think about right now.
Lamps are so important. Oh my God, you're spiraling, aren't you?
Disney.
Oh my God.
Just thinking about it.
Next episode. Let me get to work on it now.
Yeah. Speaking of good commercials.
Summer is just around the corner, and our friends at the 21st Amendment Brewery are welcoming the warmer weather with open arms and a refreshing favorite, Hell or High Watermelon Wheat. Picture this, a sunny day, the smell of barbecue in the air, and a cold, crisp Hell or High Watermelon in your hand. It's the ultimate summertime companion, perfect for those unforgettable gatherings with friends and family. But what makes Hell or High Watermelon so special? It's not just its bright straw color or tight white bubbles. No, it's the subtle blend of wheat beer with a hint of sweet biscuit and a kiss of juicy watermelon that sets it apart from the rest. With its refreshing flavor and delightful light fruit notes, Hell or High Watermelon is bound to become your go-to summer beer. And at just 4.9% ABV, you can enjoy it all day long without missing a beat. So when you're looking for that perfect beverage to complement those sunny days and backyard barbecues, look no further than Hell or High Watermelon Wheat. Find it wherever great craft beer is sold and make this summer one to remember.
Yeah, do that.
I feel like I need to clap after that.
March in the past, present, and future with all the news that's fit to cover. It's the Ears Up Disney News.
Look, man, I'm never going to say don't applaud. So
fair.
Let's start with some lighthearted humor. What do you think? Instead of the very,
dense,
philosophical, philosophically dense topic of what lamps would feel if they could feel things.
That is an important topic, though.
Yeah. A California dad has recalled the day his 2-year-old son began repeatedly shouting a, quote, very inappropriate F word during a trip to Disneyland. Carrie, I think this goes back to your point of it's good that there were no little kids to curse at you, apparently, at Disneyland. The next sentence is great. Bad language is all around us in modern society. And while parents can lead by example, the reality is that, by and large, they can't prevent their children from eventually being exposed to it. I curse at my child.
Literally true.
Yeah. My child flips me off. Says, F you, Dad. And I go, F you, Alice. And then we laugh. Basically, this guy has twins. And one of them was saying the F word. That's what he thought in Disneyland. Back in March, Brian was visiting Disneyland with his son, Brecken.
Oh.
Brecken?
That's not a name. No.
B-R-E-C-O-N. It's like breakfast bacon. But as part of a special father-son trip to mark the toddler's birthday. However, the day was in danger of being derailed. Oh my God, dude. Danger? Newsweek, chill out. Yeah. When Brecken began repeatedly shouting a word that sounded a whole lot like the F word. The guy told Newsweek, the first time I was in Cars Land waiting in line to meet Lightning McQueen. The second was at lunch at the Wine Trattoria. And lastly was at dinner at Tortilla Joe's. I'm glad that we have a complete rundown of where this kid is swearing at everybody.
Or saying a word that sounds like that.
Brian said he and his husband, Chris, have always made a point to avoid using bad language around Brecken and his twin sister, London.
Brecken and London.
Yeah.
Boy.
Cool.
I mean, look, these are choices. But also, this is one of the reasons why, like, I don't avoid using bad language around Alice. Like, she knows these are at-home words. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you take the sting out of them, or if you take the intrigue out, it's just another word.
Yeah.
I don't do that to every word, just so everybody knows that. But Brecken wasn't actually trying to say the word. Quote, his favorite type of animal at the moment is frog. But if for some reason he won't say the word frog, it has to be Frogger. So he has to say, oh, there's a Frogger. I like a Frogger or whatever.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Sure. Unfortunately, his G sounds a lot like CK and his R isn't very noticeable. So it sounds like he's just saying, I think F-U-C-K-E-R.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like running around Disneyland saying that and everyone's like freaking out or whatever. I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny.
That is funny.
That's all.
But also, is that newsworthy?
It's Newsweek. This is what I'm saying. Like, people mine Reddit for stories. This was on TikTok.
Okay.
That's the new thing to mine for stories. I just thought it was a cute story.
Yeah.
I mean, that made it far enough.
Yeah. What are you going to do? It's slow news week.
Next step.
Nothing else is going on in the country.
No.
Yeah. Here's a very brief thing. It's not really a story. It's more of a photo that nobody can see. But apparently in Hong Kong and I want to say Tokyo, but maybe just Hong Kong, they have these basically customizable headbands. And they're coming to the parks. They're coming to Disneyland this spring, actually, where it's basically just like a generic headband, but they have different like plushies for the ears. And there's a Velcro strap underneath. So you can like put one here and one here. So you can do Chip and Donald or whatever. And you can, it's very, very basic. But you know, it looks cute enough. So that's coming. So if you're into headband stuff, but there's no real like decoration. There's a lot of people like Christina in our chat does the fancy headbands or what. It's not that detailed. It's literally just two plushies Velcroed onto your, okay, your head. Actually, you can do three.
Oh,
if you want. I mean, I guess you can do as many as you want. But that's coming.
Okay.
Create your own headbands and you can buy those. Cute. They'll be available. This always makes me laugh at Bing Bong's Sweet Stuff.
Ah, yes.
Which kind of sounds, I don't know, it just sounds like a strip club out of GTA. It just does. I don't know why.
The headbands are available at the candy store.
Yes. The candy shop.
Yeah.
Meet, meet, meet. Yep. Okay. Sure are, buddy. They sure are. We talked, I think, on the last show about Disneyland's Autopia going electric, but at the time there was no timeline.
Oh, uh-huh.
They've come out recently and said 2026.
Okay.
So in like 2 years, they're going to be gone. They're going to be electric cars. I don't really think they know how they're going to sound yet. But there was a lot of backstory about the upgrades and why they're happening. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily just that Disneyland decided, oh, we're doing this thing. Disneyland Resort, they have an ultimate goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2030. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, a typical vehicle emits 4.6 metric tons of just carbon dioxide annually. Mixing in gasoline-produced methane and nitrous oxide, the continuous use of Autopia's cars for the past few decades amounts to a high level of greenhouse gas emissions.
Oh.
Disney's commitment to environmental sustainability is a demonstration of the changes necessary to tackle this imminent global threat. I would say it's not imminent. Imminent. It's been here for a while. Carrie, when you guys were at the Disney Channel night, was Autopia running?
It certainly was in all its stinky glory.
How many times did you go on it? Five, zero. Six times? Oh, man. Apparently, there have been investigations with the California Air Resources Board for air quality testing for Autopia. And these people were complaining that about the negative environmental impact of Autopia and whatever, but the regulations were tying everything up. Apparently, the amusement park is private property and visitors can easily take the necessary precautions not to go near certain rides. So they're like, look, people don't have to go here if they don't want to.
It is a back corner of Tomorrowland that you could easily not walk toward.
Yeah, you could never go there again.
Right. In its initial efforts to offset carbon emissions, Disney spent over $15.5 million in carbon offsetting schemes related to deforestation and reducing industrial gases. While the company claims the use of verified offsetting projects, most of them are not directly eliminating greenhouse gas emissions to combat Disney's pollution. Several companies have turned to offsetting projects as a way to continue unstable business operations without facing consequences. Which I never really understood. You should buy carbon offset credits. Like Al Gore was big into offset credits. And then people were like, well, you have a company that sells these. And he said, well, yeah, but it's just still good.
But still do it.
Yeah. You can still pollute. Just pay more for it. Just pay more for it. It's fine. But apparently Disneyland's like, yeah, that's probably not going to be, great. So anyway, I thought it was a little more interesting backstory. So they're moving a little bit fast. And, apparently they've tried to get sued over the past. A couple things.
Cool.
Let's see. Let's go to a little bit of what's going on in the parks right now. Disneyland Resort's Pixar Fest begins this week. It's actually already happening, I think, right now. But some fans aren't thrilled about the celebration, if you can imagine.
Okay.
Imagine a Disney fan, Eric, not enjoying a thing.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Why are you looking at my picture?
Well, because it's the biggest one that I have mounted right nice. Above the web.
Yeah, because his whole wall is painted as a mural of you.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah, you're
me, but looking tasteful. Like Shrek. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or donkey, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, apparently people on, I'm going to summarize this story because it's not that interesting, but I do think it's funny that I'm not the only one complaining about anything. People are going like, yeah, is there even a Pixar movie out right now? Like, it's hard to really get excited about Pixar Fest when there's just nothing really happening.
I mean, never have done any good movies before ever, right?
Right.
Well, that one was good, actually, that I said I was going to hate and I was really mad about it. The fire and water one.
Elemental.
Yeah, yeah. I actually really liked it.
Watched it? Okay.
This person
I did watch it and I liked it.
Is there even a Pixar movie out in theaters right now that we are doing this whole ass festival? Okay.
I mean.
And then someone says the real reason Pixar Fest is disappointing isn't the decorations. It's the fact that there's no meat to the festival. It's entertainment cutbacks disguised as special events.
Wow.
Have you been to Epcot lately?
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. I guess it's just the decorations are weird. There is a story here I was going to read, but it sort of blends in right now. They have a Pixar tower. I forget what it's called, but it's their tribute to the Tower of the Four Winds that Rolly Crump did for the Small World attraction at the New York World's Fair. And I saw it and I was like, is this supposed to be the Tower of the Four Winds? I don't know. And it just looks like a bunch of Pixar things glued on an arch. It doesn't look anything really like it. And I feel like if you're going to pay tribute to something like as legendary as this kinetic sculpture, at least do that. But this just doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't really look, great. Mm. That's all. Like I said, it's not a whole lot of good things on that, but we're going to keep rolling. So we're talking about Disneyland Forward. And I believe on the last show, we talked briefly about Avatar Land potentially coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now there's another rumor about an Encanto themed land coming to Disneyland Forward. And I'm not upset about it.
It would be very pretty, but I feel like it's not a big enough movie for a whole land.
Well, they're doing two. I mean, really, a whole land. I think what these are going to do and what we really should do is get off our backsides, Taryn. And do a what we would an armchair imagineering of what we would want to see Disneyland for, because I think the the way the parks are set now, we're never going to get a land as big as what we have, like New Orleans Square or whatever, even though that's relatively small. I think these are going to be small little lands, so you could do like a casita and like a town square thing, and that's kind of like, you don't really need a whole lot,
but you need enough to want to pay to go in. Like, I'm so curious how this is going to pan out.
I feel like it's going to be a third gate, but it's going to be a lot of smaller little stuff to do. Kind of like Super Mario World or whatever, Universal. I don't know if you've seen commercials for that. It's like, it's very tiny.
Yeah, there's not a lot
like that.
But it's still really well done and people like it.
Yeah. So I think you could do, and I think you could probably do a lot more with a smaller footprint. Honestly, because you don't have to flesh it out. You don't have to, you can do like the house that's either a ride or a walkthrough thing, like a Donald Duck's house or a Goofy's house or something like that in Toontown. Mm-hmm. People would be fine. That's fine. True. I don't know. I'm okay with it.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. Because the way that you just described that to me sounds like those pop-ups where like you go sit on the friend's couch and take pictures for Instagram. Like that's what it kind of sounds like. And I'm like, why would I want to pay to, but and not that that's what they're doing, but it's just seems so small. I'm just really curious.
Here's a quote from tomorrow. He says, we will have enough room to build the equivalent of another Disneyland park. And so then you start to think about, well, what can we do here? We haven't told any stories on Wakanda. We haven't told any stories on Frozen.
Wakanda would be cool. And Frozen, I'm surprised that Frozen hasn't come up yet.
They have, they got rid of Maelstrom or whatever.
Yeah, but that's Epcot. Over there.
Yeah, but still, I don't know.
There's no Frozen here.
You think about franchises like Coco and Encanto. We almost have an endless stream of stories that we can tell. Almost. We almost have an endless stream.
I don't know.
But for some reason, we keep telling the same ones over and over again. We're not actually writing any new story. That it's just the same things over and over again. Anyway, Encanto, what do you think, Eric?
I mean, there's a lot of potential, and they've been talking about doing the same at Disney's Animal Kingdom on the East Coast as part of their, like, let's rip out the Dinosaur Land USA area and put in something tropical, and then making Dinosaur into an Indiana Jones ride. It, like, really, Central America is pretty, Central and South America are pretty underrepresented in all of the parks. Epcot has Mexico. That's about it. So, like, with all of these recent films, why not? Why not find some way to fit it in? And the space constraint in Disneyland is what's interesting. They keep saying, well, we've got way more space than you think we have. Yeah, but we have to get to it. It has to be like it's.
And we still have to have a place to sleep at the end of the night. Like,
yeah, right. They're not building a lot more hotels.
Right.
And that was part of the old Eastern expansion project where they were going to put in a fourth Disney hotel. And that obviously didn't work. But I guess Disneyland can kind of trade on, like, there are plenty of hotels in the area and we can have some more people here. Like, going over to the Toy Story lot is just such an interesting concept to me, because how do you get there? Part of the charm of Disneyland is just walking across the Esplanade between the two parks.
Absolutely.
And at Walt Disney World, you can't do that, but you also have, you don't have like a CVS in between you and the other.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, that's
You have woods, you have forest, you have a road.
Gators.
You have gators that they inspire you to run faster to the next park.
I've thought about this, and I think it's going to be a bridge. I think there's going to be a bridge over Catella. To connect the Esplanade to the new park. That's my guess. I'm stating it.
Yes, you sure are. I love about you. You're stating your things. Carrie, have you ever been to Disney World?
I have, actually. I found it nice. Too big, overwhelming, and hard to get from place to place.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially coming from Disneyland. It's very cumbersome. It's a lot. And I guess I was thinking about what Eric was saying about, like, you just walk across the Esplanade. There's charm to it. There's a thing, but there's nothing charming about moving parks.
Yeah, you never lose Disney the World. Vibe when you walk across the Esplanade, but when you have to get into a tram or a bus or whatever, it's like, it breaks the flow.
Kind of does, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of does. All right, that's all the stories I got. Skyliner, sorry, what were you saying?
I said, unless you're taking the Skyliner.
That's true.
Which is amazing.
Wait, what?
But yeah, I mean, having just been there this last weekend with David from PuniPod, he's never been, he and his kids have never been to Walt Disney World. So they were there for the race.
That's fun.
That's what drew them there. But it was a really interesting and challenging experience working with people that have never been there. Like, they're lifetime Disneylanders. They go multiple times per year, David and his family. And It was fun, but it was also a little stressful. Like, oh gosh, what do I do?
Like, tour guide
everything. Now, how do I teach them how this is? Because I was there with Mike from Concierge, and he and I have been going to Walt Disney World for decades.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Disneyland is the foreign thing to us, and I've kind of had to learn that. I'm like, oh wait, you can just walk across. It's to get there.
God, it's so easy for you guys.
Yeah. Out of 45. But yeah, like everywhere we went, it was jaw dropping for them. And I loved it. We'll have an episode of the Supreme Resort about it. We'll have David on to talk about it. Cause it was just wild and
nice.
I did see your Instagram post where he seemed, annoyed with the castle, that it was too big.
Yeah.
What is it doing there?
Dan said, like, I need to see David's reaction to the castle. So David was playing it up a little bit, but But yeah, like it's a big deal, and adding in a layer of complexity to Disneyland that isn't this charming just walk there aesthetic. Walking over a bridge, okay, I guess you kind of do that with the parking structures if you're going to park there. I granted that's a good ways away, and you still might have to take a tram up to Disneyland and DCA, but it's all really close and tight.
Yeah, you can't be immersed all the time. There's got to be a point where it breaks, you know.
Yeah,
right.
But what are you going to do? All right, that's it. We're done. We're getting out of here.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I think it's great.
Where's my music?
It's so nice to have another female voice.
Oh, yeah. Carrie, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience about the Disney TV, Disney Channel, whatever it is. Disney that, TV that's streaming
the same
service.
Way I talked about it before we went. Yeah.
Oops. Nope.
Whoops.
Yep.
Hey, we're back, baby. Just pushing buttons like some weird gorilla on a switchboard. I appreciate it. Thank you again. I did appreciate the way that you were like, I kind of just went to just ride rides and game the system.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think it's a fresh perspective on how to do these things, these ticketed events. It's a different way to look at the ticketed event. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily about what's going on in the event, but it's about the act of the event distracting everybody else.
Yeah, basically.
You know what I mean? I think it's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you to you. And of course, thank you to Amari as well for being your partner on that. I appreciate that very much. Everybody, you guys know what to do. I don't know. Go to our website. Figure stuff out. I don't know. Until next time, we'll see you in the parks.